Timothy Patrick Hinkle's A Lost Love and a Roving Eye.
Something in my eye, something in my eye. The world is one to cry out in pain and rise in terror. Though once a very small, at once a tech is all nothing to do but fall down in our grand subsequence. As they grow inside us, nothing remains to hide us from ourselves. See them swim through the air, they're descending.
So just to be clear, it's not Tim Hinkle, it's Timothy Patrick Hinkle. Now, I used to give Chumpy a hard time about having a two-syllable moniker instead of something elegant like a jerk or owl, but Timothy Patrick Hinkle is bringing the syllables back, baby! it breaks my heart that I didn't enjoy this song because I'm a fan of both Timothy Patrick Hinkle and Tim Hinkle. But the backwards percussion starts out a little annoying and then it doesn't let up for like 4 minutes. And it's mixed so loud. I'm not against backwards percussion when used carefully, but I think I prefer it as an occasional effect instead of the primary percussion for a song, for any song, really. This song is so ambitious, but it doesn't have all that much for me. The vocal harmony falters a little here and there, and I think it could have been planned out a little bit better in a couple of sections. And speaking of those sections, they are not melded well at all. This sounds like different parts of different songs slapped together. One section stops, and then there's a pause with a sustained chord, and then the next bit starts. And one section doesn't seem to have much to do with the other section other than, you know, some consistent instrumentation and, of course, the vocals. And, of course, the lyrics are a lot.
Yeah, the lyrics are quite a lot. So apparently it's about a fantasy novel about dragons. And there's a girl who gets a very, very small dragon stuck in her eye. And then she later gets it removed, but it's sort of a harbinger of more dragons that appear and destroy the village or something. It's very ambitious. You know, I imagine it must be hard to summarize or even take a scene from a fantasy novel and turn it into a song. So I definitely admire the challenge. And there's definitely a lot of really evocative lines. So, you know, in this case, for some reason, I'm not hung up on having to know exactly what it's about, just because the lyrics are evocative, and I feel like I can kind of put my own interpretation onto it. It reminds me, there's a Ween song that begins, "A child without an eye," and it just kind of reminds me of the manic energy of parts of this song. I feel like there's like kind of a weird, quirky Beatles song embedded in this prog rock Jethro Tull number, and they kind of take turns doing their pieces. And I thought that was kind of an interesting thing. I definitely liked the slower sections more than the sort of more dark Jethro Tull-ish prog rock sections. And I definitely did not like that backwards snare sound, or maybe it was a backwards cymbal. Whatever it was, it got really tiring really quick. And as Ryan mentioned, it was mixed loud. It could have been used way more sparingly. It just kind of ruined a lot of the song. And it was in both sections, sadly. So that wasn't great. And, you know, there's some really good ideas here, but the song is marred by its length and some of those unpleasant-sounding production choices. But I definitely give him points for being ambitious. You know, there's a lot of cool ideas in here, and a lot of cool lines, and I didn't know that Timothy Patrick Hinkle could sing that high. Dude must have an incredible range. He can get really low, and there's some parts which I think he's singing in his falsetto at parts of this, so very impressive vocal performance.
Yeah, I will disagree at least somewhat about the backwards percussion. I just kind of like backwards sounds like that and weird noises in people's productions. So it maybe, you know, maybe could have used a little bit less or, you know, a little bit quieter, but I like that there's this kind of like different, like weird ass sound mixed into these songs here. The story in this is definitely a lot, but it kind of weirdly felt hard to grab onto like an actual story or what was, you know, supposed to be being expressed in each one of these verses for something that, you know, is about something as visual, let's say, as, you know, floating, flying, attacking eyeballs, right? I mean, it's like such an image, right? But somehow I feel like, oh, like, why are there so many, you know, verses and choruses set like here? It feels very long. I don't know what I'm, you know, supposed to be getting content-wise out of each one of these sections that's different from the previous section. So yeah, I don't know if maybe it's just the way that it's phrased, but I think it probably could have been trimmed down a bit. I mean, maybe that's not what you want to do with like a prog rock epic, but you know, in terms of my personal taste, I think I would have maybe done a little bit more editing on that. It's not my favorite Timothy Patrick Hinkle song I've ever heard.
So did you feel like the lyrics were a bit vague and hard to understand?
Yeah, I mean, I think it maybe just had a bit of that like 19th century novel syndrome where it's like it feels a little bit formal in the way that he's writing these lyrics, so it's a little bit hard to follow for the modern listener, I guess. I mean, there's a lot of kind of, you know, it's a little bit more of a formal register, and it felt a little bit vague for something that could have been very, very visual and very, you know, had a lot of impact. Because it's flying eyeballs. I mean, come on.
Yeah. But it's also
beams
flying,
of fire.
Yeah, but it's also flying worms flying into people's eyeballs and burrowing into people's flesh, which I'm not getting that wrong, am I?
No, I think that's right.
Yeah. So I mean, he refers to them as worms, but okay. It might just be that since they're flying, they're actually dragons. But the thing is, it's like, I don't have enough information. If the first one in this story flew into this woman's eyeball, then it's got to be pretty small. And if she ostensibly, you know, survived and I don't know what the hell's going on, but it's, I mean, how many things do you want to burrow into your eyeball?
Absolutely just zero.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Me too. We're similar that way.
So I thought it was like maybe the worms are flying into people's eyes and causing and like pulling out the eyes and like, you know, causing the eyes to fly around. Maybe the fact that we're having so much confusion over this is, you know, a sign that this could have been a little bit more clear.
Yeah. But best version of these lyrics. I mean, how much of that do you like that imagery? Yeah. Do you prefer them to be burrowing in or pulling out the eyeballs?
Yeah.
I mean, so the thing that this is based on too is by E. Nesbitt, apparently, who I had no idea that she wrote things about dragons getting in people's eyes. You know, she was writing in like the maybe early 1900s, right? Like late 1800s, early 1900s. Like I kind of think of her as like, you know, she wrote like the Boxcar Children or, you know, whatever, these kind of good-natured things, not so much about like the flying eyeballs and, you know, and dragon attacks and so on. So it's a much more gruesome sounding thing than I would have expected from something inspired by E. Nesbitt.
Ryan, I think you're next.
Or sorry, the railway children, not the boxcar children, the railway children. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I don't know much about her at all, really. I mean, the name I just kind of glossed over as one of any of a zillion different fantasy authors. But if she's not predominantly a fantasy author, and if she was writing fantasy stuff about dragons back in the 19th century anyway, then, you know, that's still before Tolkien and any of them, really. So it might be worth looking into. Unless it's got a lot of eye burrowing content, which I can live without. Okay.
The railroad children and all the eyeballs they saw on the boxcar.
Yeah, here I am getting all high and mighty about body horror.